scriptures we could look at just briefly. One's in Luke chapter 1. Okay, let's turn to Revelation chapter 8 first. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4.
It says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand."
Great picture of prayer. Okay. And Luke chapter 1. So we can look at verse 5 to 11. Or 13.
"And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia."
Yeah.
"And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John."
Okay, so one of the things God has been teaching me really in the past years is really learning to pray. You know, in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it's an interesting verse. It says, God says, "Call upon me, I am the God of heaven and earth. Call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you did not know." You read in English, sounds interesting. What do you mean, call upon you and you show me mighty things that I don't know? The Hebrew word, you do not know, means things that are hidden. Things that are inaccessible. Things that are fenced in. Have you ever faced it sometimes that things, it seemed like there was a big wall there, and the thing's too difficult to reach, inaccessible, fenced in. Or God saying, call upon me, I'm the Lord of heaven and earth. The things that are fenced in, too difficult for you, I will show you that. That's what prayer is. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Keep knocking. Those will be open to you. Things that are too difficult for you will come down. And maybe you and I have things sometimes in life seem too difficult. God says, call upon me. I will do for you. The story here, we have an interesting story, amazing story. We heard the story many times. There's something in the story that's so powerful, that's beautiful wording in the Greek language I want to share with you. She hears a couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth. They're both a wonderful couple there of the Levitical race, Aaron's line. Both he's a priest. Bible says the righteous, the good believers, walking in the commands of the Lord. There's only one problem. They have no child. You see, you can picture the scene, right? Zacharias and Elizabeth get married in the will of God. Maybe they're 25 years old. She's 23. They're excited being remarried. They get married and expect a baby soon, and they begin to pray, and no baby comes. few years passes, 5 years passes, 10 years passes, and kind of God kind of answers many prayers of that. But this one prayer they really need didn't come through. And you see what they did is what we often do too. We kind of pray for something we believe is God's will. We pray and pray. And kind of we expect God to answer. And then when He doesn't answer, after many years we say, hey, maybe it's not His will. We turn our prayers. We're even praying for other things. But in our hearts we're a little disappointed. We can say, God, You answered so many prayers of mine, but the big one You didn't answer. You know, I wanted this kind of ministry. I wanted this kind of answer. That one didn't come, Lord. We're a little disappointed. But if you read the story here, God wants to encourage us. And there's no prayer that's not answered. God answers it powerfully in His own timing. It raises the blow our mind. So here's the story. When we read the story here, you see the Bible says, and here are the three principles. You see, David said in Psalm 141 verse 5, he says, O Lord, my prayers go up before You as incense, sweet smelling incense before You. Here's a great thing, that when we pray, I want you to understand something, our prayers go up to heaven. They don't just go up to the ceiling, bounce back. They don't just go up to heaven and come back. The Bible says they are before God in heaven, and they're collected in golden bowls in heaven. God actually, Revelation 8 says, your prayers go up as incense before God, and they remain there, and they're collected in beautiful golden bowls, symbolic of God treasures your prayers. They're before God as a memorial. In Acts chapter 10 verse 4, Cornelius was praying. He's an unsaved yet God fearing man, Roman soldier. And God said, Cornelius, your prayers and giving has come before God as a memorial for Him. So you can just picture the scene, right? You and I kind of get to a Bible study, have a prayer meeting. We forget where our prayers are gone. When God says, I collect your prayers, they're before Me, Almighty God, and they're precious to Me. And we're going to choose the time I answer them. So think about this. Zacharias and Elizabeth. They've prayed and prayed. 25 years has passed, maybe. We don't know how long, except they're old, advanced, beyond childbearing. But here's the scene. One day Zacharias, you see, they never quit. They never stop following God. That's good, isn't it? Often you get discouraged, you stop following God. They're still faithful. Zacharias still goes to the temple. And one day he gets an amazing privilege. He studied the Bible. The Bible says Zacharias was the 8th order division of Abijah. And there's Jesus. There was 24 divisions of priests. There were thousands of priests. There were 24 orders, divisions. Zacharias was part of the 8th division. And one day, he was chosen by lot to burn incense. This privilege came only once in a lifetime. He did sacrifices many times, but to go into the actual temple and burn the incense in the holy place, it was only once in a lifetime. So imagine how happy he was. At 3 in the afternoon, temple trumpets, shofar blows. Zacharias brings the goyim. One priest performed goes, there's the incense table, the coals of last yesterday's offering. Somebody else comes, puts in new coals and puts the oil ready for Zacharias. And Zacharias goes in, and the people outside up in prayer. All the people gather in prayer, evening sacrifice. And when Zacharias puts the incense on the altar, it's a symbol that prayer is going up. All the people's prayers are going up before God. But God has surprised them that day. That day, Gabriel comes in. Angel comes in heaven, stands before him at the right hand. And here's the amazing thing. You see, his prayers went up before God. So the first thing is, I want you to remember this. No prayers wasted. Your prayers ascend before God and collected in incense bowls. Here's the second thing I want you to remember. It's something that Gabriel said to Zacharias. He said, Zacharias, your prayer was heard to do. Now listen carefully. Oftentimes we think, you know, when Zacharias went to the temple, maybe read the rest and the story and think, oh, maybe Zacharias was actually right then praying for the answer of his child. That's not true. Zacharias actually forgot his prayers. He had long forgotten the prayer for his child. 20 years ago he stopped praying for it. He'd given up. But the angel came that day and said this to Zacharias. Zacharias, your prayers were heard to do. Now, the Greek word here, tense, is an aorist tense, a timeless aorist. It's a very unique tense, and the prefix before the Greek is used only 5 times in the New Testament. The word actually Greek translation means, Gabriel said to him, Zacharias, here's my translation of it. Zacharias, your prayers were heard when you first prayed them. 25 years ago, your prayers were heard to do, were approved by God that time. So I've come now, 20 years later, to answer your prayers in a way that's going to blow your mind. Your prayers were heard to do. Your prayers were granted. But now, 20 years later, in God's timing, I've come to answer and give it to you. I want you to see that. When does God hear prayers? When you first pray. The moment you first pray, God answers your prayers, hears your prayers. At that time, if your prayers are according to His will, which we find out in the Bible, what's according to the will of God or not, we know the scriptures, your prayers are given, granted. Understand that? The answer will come in God's timing. The answer will come when God knows the answer should come. Where it will bring God maximum glory. Oftentimes when I'm afraid, I realize a few things. You know, I discover a few things over prayer. You pray, and sometimes it just seems like nothing's happening then. Sometimes it feels like the situation was difficult, now it looks impossible. Have you ever felt that? And then suddenly, it's done. Mm-hmm. How often have we all experienced that? And he said, listen, Zacharias, Elizabeth, you will bear a son. You shall call him John. He shall be the forerunner of the Messiah. Here's what's interesting. Zacharias, the name means, Zacharias, the name in Hebrew means God remembers. Elizabeth's name means his oath, his promise. John means gift of grace. God remembers his promise and gives a gift of grace. Every good gift, every blessed gift comes from the Father above in this exercise of rule. Here's what is covered also. God answers in a way that brings him maximum glory. Not when we want it. You see, Zacharias prayed only for a child, but God gave him more than a child. He waited and waited till he had a child, more than a child. He gave him a son who's a prophet. Jesus said, one of the greatest of all time. That's where God works, in a way that totally blows our mind often. That's why we never stop praying. We never give up. The things we prayed for 20 years ago, they're still recorded in heaven. I just want to encourage you with that. Because I've seen answers and answers and answers to prayer. You and I are called just to pray. To never give up. You need to remember that. When you pray, your prayers go before God. They collected golden balls. You know what that is? When ladies take treasure, diamonds, gold, silver, you don't just throw it in the house. You put it in a treasure box, a jewelry box. Because they're precious. God's saying your prayers are precious for me. The smoke that comes up before me, never forgotten. And when you pray in the will of God, whether you pray for a lost person to come to Christ, some project, some ministry, some open door, help, whatever it is, I hear you. Because you know my nature. Even though it doesn't seem like anything's going to happen, trust me, hold on to me. The answer will come in my timing. The answer will come in a way that brings me maximum glory and meets my need. You see, God meets his own need. In meeting our needs, God also meets his own need. God needed a prophet to come as a forerunner, Messiah. He sent John. It was God's timing. Sue's mom, my mom-in-law, wonderful woman of God, prayer warrior. I love this story. She was in the Middle East and she and another lady began praying for a lady called Grace. Grace had no children. And the husband, Grace and her husband had got married 10 years past, no children. They came to Maggie, Sue's mom, told her, Maggie, please pray. So Maggie faithfully prayed. For months and months and months they prayed for a child, for this lady. And then Maggie came back to India. About 6 months or 1 year later, she gets a letter from Grace. Maggie, I'm pregnant. Expecting. About 6 months after that, Maggie, it's not one child, it's triplets. Like you said, she said, you better be careful what you pray for. How much you pray. It's too soon. How many times do we need that? So it's just never give up praying. Never. Things you pray for now, answer it all the way. The things we pray for, I remember as a young man in India, 25 years ago, answers are coming now. For 10 years in ministry, we were one church. I took the church with 30 people. And we had a vision for all India. We had no idea how this was all going to happen, except I knew God called me to be a missionary for all India. We should go and have prayer meetings. Late night prayer meetings. Just pray. seemed like, you know, talking to God, and after it just seemed like God, you were there, is it ever going to happen? 10 years passed in one church. The church went from 30 to 50 people to 70 people, that's it. Didn't ever seem anything big was going to happen. And then suddenly we planted a second church. And it was 12 years. And then little by little, suddenly churches began. Men began to raise up. Richard was driven to Nepal. We had no contacts. But Pastor Mike said it was so wonderful. Though we were a little church, had no money. No money even to go to Nepal. Richard so and I took a trip, 30 hours by train, to the border of India and Nepal, across the border to go. Took a bus nearly 16 hours, had one contact. By faith we went, because we believe missions are God's heart. From that little contact there, we have 25 churches there. You know, the fruit will come. And the story is a beautiful story, true story. You know, there's a bamboo shoot that grows in China. I don't know the story. You put the seed in the ground, you water it. 1 year, nothing comes up. Second year, starts coming a little bit. 6 years, 6 to 7 years, it grows 8 feet after watering it. And then all of a sudden, cue from the 7th year to the 15th year, it grows 90 feet tall. Every Chinese bamboo shoot does that. 6 years watering, 8 years watering, then the 12th year, suddenly the shoot goes up 90 feet tall. I think sometimes that's like church ministry. You water and you water and you water and you wonder, Lord, what's happening, right? Been there, I know that. But it's so awesome you guys are here, Westminster. Now, being faithful. Because I look at this wonderful group here. There's joy, there's hunger, there's, you know, God's here with you. You don't have to have a huge church. I like small Bible studies. I think no matter how big a church grows, this is precious. This is more precious than anything else. Because God is here among us. And we are real disciples. You can have big churches, but sometimes they get fluffy, comfortable, convenient, don't be real disciples. But you can be real disciples here. You can just have a church, and sometimes you can come by faith, take a plane journey, say, man, I'm going to go and see India, come to Nepal. If you come to Nepal, you see a work of God, amazing work of God up in the mountains. You can also travel on a plane, go to Mount Everest, fly over Mount Everest. You can battle elephants in the jungles. Yes, awesome trip, adventure. But also most important, souls, people around the world, right? So, I love this. Just awesome. You know, let's not stop praying, okay? Let's not stop praying. Pray big things. Pray for things that seem impossible by sight. Because when we pray, you know, only it's kind of big, it's wonderful to pray big things. Because you only know, only God can do them. Nothing to do with us. Okay, man. Amen. I told a young man yesterday, I said, you're in Bible school, give them the Bible fully, that's the mind of God. Don't forget to spend time alone with God. Get to know his heart. And spread that. Get along with God. Spend time with him. God is speaking to us all the time. He wants to speak to us all the time. So one of the most special things you can learn as you grow is how to listen to the voice of God. He speaks to us. You and I know when God speaks to us.
What's the key to God speaking to you? Anybody?
Humble here.
Okay, humility. there's one other thing that is important.
We have to be listening, available.
Yeah. There you go. Humility and availability. I have to be humble and I have to be available. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm proud, God resists me. He's not going to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm unavailable, why should God say anything? Oh, he'll speak to me anyway to try to get me to be available. But if I, here's the thing, I say, Brian, you know, it's whatever, Brian this, Brian's like, whatever, he's not like that, that's what I'm saying, Brian, whatever, eventually I'll stop saying Brian. I think sometimes it works like that with God. He's very patient and he knows our capacity. But at the same time, he will ask me sometimes, or he will speak to me according to that capacity. And if my capacity is such that I'm not available, then one of two things, God will build my capacity if I'm humble, or he'll break me if I'm proud. And then I'll be available. Best thing I can do as a believer is this. God, whatever your will is, keep me in it. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. Whatever your will is, keep me in it. And then you're available. And then I'll speak to you. God speaks so that he's glorified. He speaks because he loves you. But him being glorified is to my benefit. And that's what his love desires. That God be glorified in my heart. And why does God want to be glorified in my heart? So I can know who he really is. Yeah. Humility and availability are key.
The story of Samuel. So Samuel did not know the Lord. The voice of the Lord had not come to him yet. Once he heard the voice of God, the word came often to Samuel. Oftentimes people say, I've never heard God speak to me. It's true of many Christians. Say, I know God's impression. I feel God's peace. I never heard God speak to me. No. God speaks in a small voice. You have to give him time. He will. The secret is, my sheep hear my voice. Hear my voice. They follow me. So the key is to make sure you know, I'm a sheep. You should say that. I'm a sheep. I don't need somebody to make a prophecy over me. Like, and should somebody bring a prophecy over me? I'm your sheep. God can speak to me directly. I don't need somebody else making a prophecy over me. I can be a false prophet too, right? So let's all tune to hear God speak. Because when God speaks to us, you're not the same person. So, Eli said to Samuel, next time you hear God speak, God is speaking to the young boy. Yes, Samuel. He didn't know the voice of God yet. Yeah, I said, go say the next time. Speak, Lord. He's listening. The word listening in the Hebrew is Shema. Shema, it means the will to do. I don't just listen. I'm listening to be available to do. God, here I'm, Lord, whatever you want to say to me, to say it. Somebody said, if you say to God, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, the Lord will speak to you and say to you, speak, servant, your Lord is listening. It's a two-way street. Oftentimes we miss that in prayer. No. Prayer is not just me talking, God bless this, bless that, bless this. Give me this, please. It's also, Lord, here I am, here my friend. Share with me what's in your heart for my life, for my family, your plans. Because God has awesome plans for our life. He may use us in the most powerful way to bring glory to Him. But large doors open on small hinges. If I miss the door, I miss the calling. No. We all have a tendency to preserve our lives, preserve it, live comfortably, live conveniently, want our plans to be established. We say, Lord, I'll do anything you want, but really we can say, Lord, I'm afraid of your plans. But God's plans are far bigger than our plans. We'd be crazy to think our plans would be better than our Father's plans for us. But if we could just surrender and say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, do, speak to me, lead me step by step. Begin a journey, adventure, powerful adventure. Your life will never be the same. So God gets the yeah, He gets the whole heart, He gets the whole body. Now, so oftentimes in prayer, it's good to spend time listening. Talk to God. Pose a question and say, Lord, we need wisdom. Then listen. And tune you here to listen. Yes, speak to you.
Anybody else? Thoughts, comments? Les?
I just think it's interesting that God said he senses our prayers as a sweet scent. He senses our prayers as a smell. But it's always the effect of fire. You know, this incense of burning. When you take a steak out of the freezer and it's hard as rock, you don't smell it. Mm-hmm. But you put it on the fire and it's, you know,
yeah.
Smell it.
Mm.
And it's always that there's always a sense of heating something up.
Yes. Also, one more thing is really interesting. You know, you may know something is the will of God, but it does not mean it ultimately comes to pass. The will of God often needs to be prayed in. For example, Elijah prayed, right? It says Elijah prayed earnestly, fervently, would rain. And the rain came back. He prayed, it wouldn't rain first 3.5 years. And he says, it prayed, it would rain. Now, if you think about it, Elijah was told by God, go to Ahab, ask for rain on the earth. He knew rain was coming because God promised. But what did he do? Even though he knew it was the will of God, he stood up on the mountain to pray for the rain. So, on one side, he had God's promise. On the other side, he knew God's promise is fulfilled through prayer. This is where God moves. Here this man goes up the mountain, calls on fire from heaven, and then he sends a message to Ahab, rain is coming. I hear the sound of rain. He hasn't seen rain yet. I hear the sound of pouring rain. Goes up the mountain. And he bows his head to the ground and he puts his head under his robe and just begins to pray. He tells the servant, go, see if the rain has come. The servant goes, says, nothing. Goes back to prayer. Now think about it. After the third time, most people give up. Nothing. What do you do? Stop praying. Nothing. Elijah knows God gave a promise. And he will come, sends him back 6 times. After the 7th time, he says there's a cloud appeared in the sky the size of a man's hand. I like to think about that. A man of God is praying, his hand is clenched to God, and the sky appears a cloud the size of a man's hand. We're telling a story, right? Do we never pray till the answer comes, even when the world's gone? That's so important. Now, we know what God's will is. We still need to pray till the answer comes. 7 times is the number of completion, 6 is the number of man. Abraham prayed 6 times to Sodom and Gomorrah, stop praying. Elijah prayed 7 times. Number of completion doesn't mean 7 times, it means you pray and the answer comes. Or God gives you a peace in your heart, the answer is coming. Either way. And He gives you a fix the button and says, don't pray anymore, answer coming. So, we pray. Now, we just know what the Bible says about God's will for whatever He wants to accomplish. We pray till answer comes. It's like when Daniel was praying. Interesting. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel read in the book of Jeremiah. He said, how long, Lord, were you in captivity in Babylon? Lord says, 70 years. Daniel looked and said, well, 70 is almost over. We should be going back to Israel now. So he knew God's word said 70 years, we're going back. So he began praying. He began a wonderful long prayer. The Bible says, by the time of the end of the prayer, as he was speaking, while he was still speaking, Gabriel came. So think about it. Just a few minutes have passed, 5 minutes have passed. Gabriel's there. You know, Gabriel said, Daniel, at the very first moment you prayed, the commandment was given for me to come to you. Mm. Think about that. Not just now, but when it was the first moment you prayed, the commandment was given. Mm. So I've come to you. Answer your prayers. Now think about this. In the next chapter, Daniel's praying again. 24 days. He is fasting and praying. He's burdened for something. And an angel comes to him, not Gabriel this time, some other angel. And the angel says to him, Daniel, O man of high esteem, from the first day you prayed, your prayer is heard. From the first day you prayed, not the very first day. So I've come now, but the prince of Persia opposed me. There was spiritual warfare, demonic opposition in heaven for the answer to come. So Michael came to her to help me. Right? So Michael had to come to help the prayer come through. But when was the prayer heard? The first day that he prayed. My point is, when does God hear prayer? The moment when you hear prayer for Zacharias, your prayer was heard the first moment you prayed. Mm-hmm. The answers come now. Sometimes we battle opposition, demonic opposition. We're praying for unsaved people in the neighborhood, family members. It may take time. Because they have a free will. Mm-hmm. And the enemy is battling for the soul. Never give up. Because our prayers have been heard. George Miller prayed for 53 friends mm-hmm. in lifetime. And he says that George Miller, and we heard George Miller, famous missionary, and he says, in my lifetime I saw 48 come to Christ. And 3 others came after he died. now. So God answers prayer in powerful ways. No.
Anybody else? Thoughts? Comments?
I was just thinking about the past few days and how and just recounting that, reciting that again, just thinking about how God heard from the first that the angel was resisted for that period of time, the Prince of Persia. And it's a sure thing. I mean, God hears. God hears. Just how it wasn't the hearing that didn't stop the hearing.
Ah, so amen. Yes.
There's two, we've talked about this. There's two ways God receives prayer. He goes two ways God receives prayer. He hears, he inclines his ear. He hears, and then when Pastor Carl says, he inhales. He inhales the aroma of our prayers. Right, the incense was the prayers of the saints. Right? Revelation 5, Revelation 8. The incense was the prayers of the saints. What do you do with incense? He inhaled, he smelled it. One of the things I like to think about when I think about prayer is this. We breathe, in a manner of speaking, this is just in one manner of speaking, we breathe prayer into God's nostrils. God breathed life into ours. Right? There's an exchange there. My prayer is connected, it's the other side, if you will, of my life.
Wow.
You know, it's the reciprocity of my life, is my prayer. Remember, with God, there's always divine reciprocity. We love Him because He first loved us. Divine reciprocity. He breathes into us life. We breathe into Him prayer. What does that mean? That He gives me life, and I give Him communion, union, fellowship, oneness. So there's divine exchange. The more that I breathe prayer into God's nostrils, the more life He breathes into mine. Right? The most alive people there are those who know how to pray. It's like our ministry started, right? Two women couldn't even get out of the house, infirm. They didn't live to see the day. Neither did Abraham.
True.
Right? But boy, did their prayers have effect.
True. Yeah, amazing. True.
Yeah.
Years later.
Yeah, years later. So it's we pray, we don't see, but do we need to see? I remember faith is a greater sight than sight. By faith I see the invisible, by sight I see the wall. And remember, in sight we only see 10% anyway. The rest of it is our mental catalog that our brain interprets into perception. So it's like I'm much better off trusting God in everything, including in prayer. Just believe Him, believe His promises. And when we pray, We've talked about this. How do you know you're going to get an answer from God? Like, you want to come to God in a way that you're confident of an answer. Okay, how do you know that you're going to... We pray like this for you every week. How do we know? Thank you. Guys remember? How? With the promises. Pray with the promises. And trusting His care. Pray with His promises. God, the two that are... I love this one. God, you said where two are agreed, it will be done. We're agreed. Now we have a confident expectation based on the promises of God. It's no longer a wishful thought. If I can bring promises from the Word of God with my prayer and say, God, on the basis of this promise, I have a confident expectation that you will grant me what I've asked you. He can't deny His promises.
Can't lie.
He cannot lie, exactly.
Can't lie.
Has God said, and shall He not do it? Right? He can't deny it. So when you pray, always bring to God His promises. Because then, His promises are the reason why we do have confident expectation in prayer. Whether we really bring them to Him or not. I like to remind Him. But I'm a bratty little kid. You said, right? But in that sense, God wants us to be bratty little kids. Not in other sense, but that sense He does. You said, God, you said. And what does God say? Yes, I did. Yes, I did say. He doesn't deny His word. And so, as a matter of fact, He wants us to learn to pray that way. Why? What happens because of the promises? Anybody remember? What do the promises do for us? They give us a holy life before God. They sanctify us. We're purified by His promise. We avoid the lusts of this world through the promises of God. We avoid those things through the promises. What does it mean? I learned how to live unto God through His promises. Now here's the thing about the promises of God. They're not for yesterday, and they're not for now. Promises are always toward the future. Definition is for yesterday and for now. Promises are always toward the future. That's right. At an appointed time. Habakkuk 2. An appointed time. That's what the promises are for. They're not for yesterday. They're not for me. What do they do for me now? They sustain me. They sustain me. So I've heard somebody say before that the promises, they can give you all these promises, but they're not all promises. So I have this book that's downloaded. 30,000 promises from God. Most of them are promises. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good stuff. But they're not actual promises. Their definition, their characteristics, things like that. They're not actual promises. Promises are always for the future. And so, why does God give us those promises? Several reasons. One, so that we can have a confident expectation, so that we can know Him, so that we can have the focus that is required to have a sanctified life. But other reasons also. Sometimes so we'll stay put. Sometimes to encourage us so that we'll continue in prayer. Right? Like, I think one of the sweetest and most difficult promises that God gives is that the outcome of a trial. And He'll give you a promise regarding the outcome of a trial. Sometimes before you even enter the trial. He's done that to me twice. Gave me the outcome of a trial before I entered the trial. I didn't actually even know it was coming. And what happened there? Sustaining. sustaining. It encourages us, it keeps us focused, it keeps us on track, it keeps us where He wants us. The sustaining. We're sustained by the promises of God. Right? Mm-hmm. How do I know the outcome? 17 years, right? I got called to be a pastor 17 years before it happened. There was a promise involved. But if I didn't have the promise, I probably would have said, well, maybe that was just my imagination, my subject. You know, maybe that was just the spirit of adventure. Maybe that was, I could have rationalized it away, except for the promise. That promise sustains. You know, we hold on to those promises. We live by the promises. Faith is not toward that which is seen, it's toward that which is unseen. And the promise to sustain us in that which is unseen. So we always cling to those and they become our breath. You know, always, like the promises, I think, are some of the most precious things God has given. The finished work, the blood, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and promises.
Amen.
Any other thoughts or comments?
Just thinking about those two things. I said, so the angel that came to Daniel said I was delayed, but the promises were my time. So in that difference there, you see the difference. You can see the angels don't have to live by faith. Mm-hmm. They have sight. Daniel lived by faith, waiting for the promise for the one time.
Mm-hmm.
And so both those things are true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Angels are a marvel of Daniel's life. For Daniel, a man of high esteem, highly read in heaven. It's made an angel talk about us for that thing. Right? You need to think about Brian and say, oh, man of high esteem, look at his life. Like, that's awesome. Think about that. We have sex with the angels. Right? First Corinthians chapter 4 verse 9, Paul said they're spectacles to the angels and to men. Mm-hmm. We're spectacles to the word theatron, theater. So we're like in a theater. Think of an amphitheater and angels all around us looking upon us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the ways. And not we're on display in marveling that we are simple human beings and live by faith. It marvels when Abraham took his son, Mount Moriah. They marveled. Now, man will obey God. Makes sense. So, we just have to understand, well, like we know the witnesses to people in the world. When the angelic stand, when John the Apostle in Revelation, last apostle, I was talking to the Revelation, Revelation 22, finally God showed the angel that dictated the book to him.
Mm.
And John fell on his face to an angel. And he said, John, get up, kiss your feet, John, don't worship me. Worship God, for I am only a fellow servant of you and those who hear the word of God. Angels far greater, stronger than us, don't have the same privilege as we have. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They're not children by covenant. Yeah, God's family. Angels are our servants. To serve those who hear the word of God. It's amazing, isn't it? If you have Bible study today, Malachi 3:10-16, those who love God, those who respect God, fear God, spoke often one to another. And God heard in heaven. He wrote it down in the book of remembrance. Think of that. Tonight, God is writing down a book of remembrance about our fellowship. It's like God heard us speaking. Right? And how sweet that God loved it so much. The book is written in heaven. When you go to heaven, you'll see the fellowship day. February 27, 28 for the day to say it for us. We met in Joe's home. We fellowship around the world. God, our hearts are stirred, our hearts were warm, our hearts burned. God said, I wrote down heaven. My sins are talking to me. Think of that, right? The president today speaking, Obama speaking, God's not hearing him. Indian verified himself, I just come to America to speak. They talk a lot, say many things, but I was listening. Heaven loves listening to them. I was listening to some of God's saying, yeah, God's people speak. It's powerful.
As you were saying about faith, angels were created, they're mightier than we are, but here's the thing, no matter what the angels do, even though they stay face to face with God, they will never become anything other than angels. The reason is because they cannot operate in faith. We, on the other hand, are created much lower than the angels. But because we can operate in faith, we become something that we are not. We're fallen and we're perfected. We're sinful, but we become sanctified. Here's my favorite. We're lost and we become a bride. And the angels cannot do that. As wonderful and glorious as they are, they can't do that. The only reason they can't do that is because they cannot operate in faith. Here's the other part of that. It's only because of the fall that we can operate in faith. Sometimes you heard this not long ago, and it's not a bad statement, it's just an incomplete one in my view. You would say, oh God, you know, you put us in the garden and it all blew up. No, it didn't blow up. It went exactly according to plan. And we know it didn't blow up because of Hebrews 4:2. The works were finished and the world was established on that. Then, on the fourth day, God puts into the sky the communication of the plan. Not just the gospel, that also, but the full plan. From creation to the millennial kingdom to the eternal reign. The cross is there also. The full plan is placed into the stars on the fourth day. On the sixth day, we're created. Now, what was the foundation of the world? The first and the last statement of the Lamb. You understand that? Is the first and the last statement of the Lamb. It is finished. That was the statement. It is finished. But the Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain and the world was established on it. It was the first and the last statement of the Lamb. This is it. He's the Alpha and Omega. The first cause and the final outcome is this. It is finished. Right? The first and the last statement of the Lamb. And so we start where God finished, and we finish in the same point. Right? It is finished. That's it right there. It is finished. Garden was no mistake. The garden was no mistake. Nothing went wrong in the garden. Everything went according to plan. When we think of these things, like these events, why am I bringing up the garden? Because the garden defines so much about our own lives. And, you know, we can apply that so beautifully to our own lives. Right? It's exactly what it's like in my life. I fall on my face, but I fall in the plan of God. You know, what will happen? It is finished. I got saved with it is finished. And I go to heaven with it is finished. And everything in between there, it is finished. Now, my faith response to it is finished is my transformation. I become something I was not. I was a fallen, sinful man going to hell. Now I'm the purified bride of the Savior. It's by faith. And I experience it here and now by faith. Remember, my theology is worthless if it's not experiential. It's not worthless before God because it's God's mind. But what good does it do me if I can't experience it? But through faith we experience it.
Amen.
Anyway, we should call it a night. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll call it a night. Did you have any other thoughts, Pastor Carl? Anybody?
Wonderful. That was great.
All right, Father, we do pray for Pastor Carl. Thank you, God, that he and Susie were able to come and spend a little bit of time with us. And Father, we pray for his continued healing. Father, we pray that you touch his body. Lord, thank you that you've strengthened him in Denver. And Father, we pray that you continue the process. And Lord, we're expecting his healing. God, there's two, and we're agreed. There's more than two, God. There's twos all over the world, and we are agreed. And so, Father, we have a confident expectation that you will grant us this petition and that you will heal Pastor Carl once and for all, completely remove the cause and the signs and symptoms of the ALS. Father, bless Susie as she loves and cares for her husband. And Father, we pray that you keep her encouraged. Father, quicken her body. Lord God, quicken her heart and her mind. Even though it stayed on you, Father, we pray that you protect her from the atmosphere, as well as Pastor Carl. Father, protect them through the rest of their trip. Protect them in India. Protect them until the rapture. Just say that. God, protect them until the rapture, and then they'll be protected just all by themselves. Father, we also pray that you bless outreach tomorrow. Give us souls. Father, show us which doors to knock on, the places. Protect people on the roads. Father, give us souls. Give us teenagers. Father, give us souls. Father, bless Sunday. Give us a rich message from your heart.
Yes.
And Father, we pray that you bless everyone on their way home. Protect them on the roads. Protect them from diseases and illnesses and accidents. And bring everyone safely on Sunday. Amen.
Amen.